We are back here for the first episode of the 2020 fall sports season of the Wildcat Weekly on the iCast. I'm Kurt Pickering, and I'm alongside Bobby Jerome. We're definitely excited to get back in the podcast, stay in a routine of doing this weekly, just as the title of the show claims. Bobby's going to start us off with some football news. Two games under our belt. Bobby, what do you have to say?
Yeah, well, the Wildcats, they did get off to a good start to the season last week against Bishop Sycamore. It was a very good win, 33-6. I know Bishop Sycamore isn't regarded as the most talented team ever in the state of Ohio, especially, but they're playing some top-tier opponents. They're scheduled to play IMG in week 10. I know they've struggled, but the Wildcats were, yeah, they're still a solid team. They had a really good quarterback who was real mobile, and I think the Wildcats did a great job of defending that
They did, yeah. He
offense.
had some highlight clips on overtime and stuff like that. I believe that was him.
Unnecessary roughness.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but very talented player, not gonna
Very,
lie.
very talented player. He was able to sling the ball downfield,
Definitely
and
as a college future, in my opinion.
yeah, the Wildcats struggled a little, but they were still able to get through that. It was a good 33-6 win. And the one flaw I pointed out with Bishop Sycamore was they had the talent. I just don't think the structure was there. And I think if they just, they're one step away from being an elite level team. And I think the Wildcats, they saw that. They came in, they had a good game plan, and they really executed their system. It was a week one game. The Wildcats were already 2 weeks behind every other
Yeah,
team in the
that's
state of
true. We did
Ohio.
start late.
They needed a team like Bishop Sycamore who was struggling to play, because
Yeah,
that's a team where
it's a good confidence boost. I mean,
you're it's a good confidence boost. But looking at it from the football perspective, you look at other teams around the state who have gotten multiple weeks of practice and played the first 2 weeks. They had 4 weeks in August to practice, including the last week where they had their first game. Then they had the extra 2 weeks of their games. The Wildcats,
had the extra practice.
in total, as of this point right now, have had 4 or 5 weeks of practice with a missing 3 weeks in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And that's, as a football team, you need that practice every single day for months to actually get in a groove. And the
Agreed.
Wildcats were a step behind because of the shutdown at the beginning of the year.
Every
But
team being a step behind, but even being farther
especially with
back
the
with the Wildcats,
Wildcats,
it's tough.
they needed a game like that against a team that was lacking, so they could figure out what they were good at, get their system working, and really get the chemistry working. They needed that to figure out who they were and what they could do.
We
Because
definitely saw that.
you also look at, it's the first week of football for the season, for the Wildcats. So you're going to have those week one mistakes, like those few false start penalties against the O-line. You're going to have those neutral zone infractions from the defense. You're going to have that one pass interference call from your DB who's tugging on the other wide receiver's jersey, and you're going to have a missed count somewhere. That's no matter if you're a national champion caliber football team or you're a weak school who's lacking behind, you're going to have those mistakes week one. And the Wildcats picked a good team in Bishop Sycamore to get those mistakes out of the way for.
Yeah, and definitely, very impressed. You mentioned, we needed that little bit of a preview. You know what I mean? I think Jackson French definitely gave that to us. Talking about the junior starting quarterback, he got a few snaps in last year when Griffin Hanna got hit up, banged up a little few times. On the field. I remember. I think he went in the Metter game for a little bit.
Yeah, he went out for like one
Yeah,
drive.
something like that. But Jackson French, I think it's a bright future for the Wildcat quarterback squad. I think it's definitely needed to have a quarterback that starts as a junior and you got that experience for the senior year. I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, Jackson French, he really did impress me. One thing that Bishop Sycamore, we really didn't see from French, though, was his mobility. That's one of his defining characteristics as a quarterback, is that he can run, too. And I talked to Coach Franziger earlier last week, and he said the one good thing about a mobile quarterback is that on like a handoff to one side of the field, the whole defense can shift to one side and shut down a play if they know it's not a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
When it's a, and it, that makes it a 9-on-11 situation when it comes to manpower. on defense versus offense. When you have a mobile quarterback, you never know if when the entire offense shifts over, he can fake a handoff, tuck, and run the other way.
You know, and
that creates that it's a more of a balance when it comes to players.
And now that I'm thinking about it, you know, as we're filming this on Monday the 21st, you know, last night was Sunday Night Football, Patriots versus the Seahawks. Anyone who watched it, you see that with Cam Newton. I mean, how many times are they on the goal line, you know, and they run the ball? And teams are so used to committing against the Patriots. And Cam Newton takes his time, jumps over the D-line. Yeah, that's something they didn't see from Brady. You know, and the Wildcats, in today's age, mobile quarterbacks, you know, is the new thing. And I think taking advantage of that with Jackson French, you know, is a great idea.
You know, in that Bishop Sycamore game, too, Joe Pfeff, he got a lot of playing time in the second half. I know they were just trying to run out the clock when he was in the game. I didn't see as much as I wanted to out of Joe Pfeff, but that's not because he didn't play well. That's because they were mainly running the ball in the second half. One thing to look out for if Joe Pfeff gets in the game, which I think he will at some points this season, he can throw the ball deep. He is super accurate deep. I know he's not as mobile as French, but he is super accurate on the deep ball, and he is... he's really a real accurate quarterback.
Yeah, so obviously a great victory there, week one. What do you have to say about the Eds game?
Well, the Eds game obviously didn't go as planned. You saw that with the 17-0 score at the end of the game. First off, I want to give my thanks to the Cleveland Browns for allowing us into that stadium. That was a really cool experience.
It's
to sit where the big guys sit on, you know, where Joe Buck and Troy Namath sit.
Troy Aikman.
Jim Nance, Tony Romo, they all sit up there. To be able to broadcast a game up there like the big guys, it's really a dream come true for me. But moving on to the game, first half, if four penalties could kill a team, even if it's in the first quarter, if you turn over the ball, you're not going to win games. Any team that turns over the ball five times in a game is not going to win, and that's what we saw Saturday night. I said this on the broadcast. That game could have been 17-10 with a Wildcat victory.
Yeah.
It could have been. If the Wildcats are going into the end zone on the first turnover by Marty Lenahan, and that could have been a touchdown. There are multiple different touchdowns that could have been scored throughout the game. It's really unfortunate that that happened. I know the defense got tired in the second half, but
the Wildcats, you know, you're putting a lot of effort into that game. You know, both sides know it's a rivalry game. You know, who's the underdog, who's not. Every team, you know, you're destined to get tired, and that's what it really comes down to. I mean, coming down 17-10 or 17-0, you know, it comes down to mistakes and effort.
And, well, you also look at it, too. St. Ed's had 4 weeks of football behind him, plus conditioning. And that's the second game for the Wildcats.
I think third or fourth for Eds, right?
That was the fourth game for Eds. And the Wildcats, it's really a first game facing a real tough opponent.
True.
So, I mean, the Wildcats have Massillon this week. That's also going to be a very tough game going down to Paul Brown Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, they're Massillon. I know their wide receiver is committed to Ohio State.
And the other one is committed to West Virginia.
Yeah, they're both excellent threats.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be another tough one for the Wildcats. But after last week's game, I think they're going to have more confidence and more structure, knowing what they're doing and what's their strengths, because in a way the team is still discovering themselves last week.
You only know yourself more after a test, you know, so I think taking a real true test like St. Ed's, you only know the material better for the next week. So, you know, the other sports that we've kind of been able to, you know, we need to catch up on, I should say, is soccer. You know, coming off that last year's state national championship, the squad lost a lot of seniors. This year, they got guys like Nolan Spicer, a few sophomores, Marco Remack, very impressive. Nolan Spicer, week one, you know, win 2-0 with two goals and an assist from Marco Remack. The next game on senior night, celebrating all the seniors, Liam Soule, Max Moot, Nick Barzacchini, Marco Remack, Francis Pichetti, Aiden Cornell, Michael Harsar, Noah Zebrak, Nico Basic, Braden Gothke, DeVar Anderson, and Isaac Brej. You know, that's an 8-0 victory. A great job by them. Zebrak with a goal. Two goals for Marco Remack as well. After that, you know, they played Avon Lake. They have a tough game then. Coming away with a 3-2 victory, a late goal by them to make it 3-2. But a very, very good game there. A goal by Isaac Brej as well. And actually, the Shoremen scored before the Wildcats there. We had to fight back for that one.
First time seeing a situation where they were down and had to come back.
Yeah, and then St. Ed's, we took away the 1-0 victory. That goal was by sophomore again, Zombor. And then they made a trip out to, this is this past Friday. They went out to St. John's Jesuit in Toledo and came away with a 4-1 victory there as well. And I think it's Zombor Odeniti, something like that. But, you know, a very impressive, you know, first five games for the Wildcats. 5-0, that's what you expect from a team such well coached and such with so much talent.
Other sports we want to touch up on, the cross country team has been very good lately. I know they just landed the third place spot, the Spartan Invitational. It's going to be a fun season for the cross country team. And talk about the Golf Cats.
Yes, we have to.
State championship caliber. I thought Topher Reed was the big deal last year, and he still is.
Uh-huh.
And I thought he was the young talent that the Wildcats were going to thrive on for 3 years, and he still is.
Yeah.
They now we got older. More. We got more freshmen.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. Definitely stay tuned for what the Golf Cats can do as well.
And the best part about the Golf Cats, we pretty much have this exact line for 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, that'll just about bring this episode of the Wildcat Weekly to a wrap. We will be back more, being able to go into more detail. We were kind of trying to cram a lot of games into one episode here. But we will be back next week for some updates on the Football Cats against Massillon, a few soccer previews that are coming up. And that just about wraps it up. So for Bobby Jerome and myself, Kurt Pickering, thank you for tuning in. Go Cats.